Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for calling. That's a joke. Thank you for tuning in to Keeping It Real Hot and Frisk with Tommy and Tori. Tori, y'all there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, my God. Thank y'all so much, y'all. This is just tuning in to SSB in Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill, the three favorite cities in North Carolina. Well, not really, but it sounds nice to say. Anyway, tonight, you know what I'm saying? There's something brewing out there in the Caribbean. It's brewing out there. And for all y'all people that's kind of wondering what's going on with these storms, well, as y'all know, that we just had Hannah. Thank God Hannah passed over pretty good, you know. Nothing too bad. It turned into a tropical storm. You know, so she's gone that way. However, there's Ike out there. Now, I mean Ike Turner. I mean Ike the Hurricane. So, to bring y'all the latest, what's going on with this hurricane, we have our very own weather forecast here. Rob Crown, how are you doing, Rob?
I am very good.
That's very good. Welcome to the show, Keeping It Real Hot and Fresh with me, Tommy, and Tori. So, Rob, thank you so much for being here because there are, you know, a lot of people who, you know, one hurricane leaves, you know, we were very fortunate to have Hannah, you know, just kind of turn into a tropical storm, you know, a few maybe slight flooding, a few branches off trees, but nothing too major. But how is Ike looking out there?
Well, as of this evening, Ike is back over the water just south of Cuba. It has 80-mile-per-hour winds from last report at 8 p.m. this evening. It is forecast to track into the southeastern Gulf of Mexico by just after midnight tomorrow night, after which it should have about 3 days to strengthen over the Gulf of Mexico. And all indications are that Ike will likely strengthen back up to possibly at least Category 3 strength while over the Gulf of Mexico on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Current indications are that Ike will come ashore somewhere on the Texas coast. Best guesstimate right now would be anywhere from south of Corpus Christi all the way up to maybe as far north as Houston or Galveston. Time frame for that looks to be late Friday night into sometime Saturday. Again, as for potential strength, it could very well come ashore as a Category 3 hurricane along the Texas coast. One thing to note about Ike is that it has potential to be a very large hurricane in overall size, and its effects will be felt well away from the eye of the storm. In fact, tropical storm force winds are possible as far east as southern and southeastern Louisiana and even parts of the Mississippi coast, with high surf expected all over the Gulf of Mexico, as far east of the western Florida coast. So obviously this is a storm that could get very serious very fast over the next couple days, and everyone in the Gulf of Mexico really needs to keep a close eye on Ike.
Oh, wow. It sounds like it. And also, I want to kind of track back. Actually, I think earlier I said Rob. I meant to say Rob Light Brown. I'm so sorry, Rob. Please forgive me. Of Crown Weather Services. So it sounds like that Ike is actually going westward, really.
Yes. All indications are that it will remain on a west-northwest to turning more northwest as it gets closer to the Texas coast. Ike has been a pretty difficult storm to forecast. It's gone against pretty much all of the forecast guidance. It's had a mind of its own. Yesterday it passed over the Turks and Caicos Islands, where 80% of the homes on Grand Turk Island were heavily damaged, with many roofs off. I've seen pictures of some of the damage from there, and it's pretty extensive.
Oh,
and then today it tracked due west right across the most skinny part of Cuba, whereas it was originally forecast to track literally across the spine of Cuba inland, but instead it just tracked right across Cuba. Now it's sitting just south of Cuba, riding along the south coast of Cuba, so it kind of puts this into a whole new ball game compared to what was looking like even 18, 24 hours ago for this storm's potential.
Wow. And, you know, and Rob, you know, a lot of times whenever hurricanes and just any type of storms, you know, big storms come, you know, a lot of people, they really try to prepare and, you know, they think they're preparing the right way, but sometimes there's always something left out. You know, as far, you know, other than, like, you know, the bare, you know, bread and water, what other things would you say that, you know, that maybe people should lock up, you know, nail down, or, you know, what are some things you would suggest?
Probably at this point in the game, start thinking about what you're going to do if hurricane watches and warnings are put up for your area. This especially goes for folks in along the Texas coast. Gather together any important papers that cannot be replaced. That does include pictures and stuff. Gather all those together. Stuff that that pretty much put together a travel bag with important documents, stuff that if your house is heavily damaged cannot be replaced. Those can include, like I said, pictures, birth certificates, wills, what have you. I mean, stuff that that would be difficult to replace. In addition to that, maybe go out and start stocking up on necessary supplies like water, like canned goods, and just start going over your evacuation plans, what you're going to do if you're told to evacuate, where you're going to go, what shelter is going to be your designated shelter if an evacuation is ordered for your location. Maybe as far as who you might want to go stay with for an extended period of time, if necessary, away from the coast, or lodging like a motel or what have you. One thing to note on shelters is many shelters don't take pets. So you might want to look into lodging that accepts pets. And yeah, just simple everyday, simple things to think about what you want to do over the next few days as Ike closes in. One thing I should give your listeners that have pets and may be required to evacuate is that there's a website out there called petswelcome.com. On there you can type in where you're located. It'll give you a listing of pet-friendly hotels and motels in your area that you can potentially make reservations with. So the webpage address is petswelcome, all one word, .com.
Okay, that's some good advice. So Tommy and Tori, I mean, even though Hannah wasn't what, you know, a lot of people expected, what kind of things did y'all see when our people was, you know, kind of preparing for what they thought was the worst for Hannah? Did y'all see any? I mean, what do y'all see?
You saw no food at Walmart, basically. That's spam.
Yeah. I mean, I remember, like, a lot of, you know, the bread was going, the water. You know, it's funny. It's like people always go for bread and water. I mean, that's the first thing light in jail. I tell you the truth. But, yeah, I mean, but, you know, you needed bread and water, though.
Because why go for microwave dinners if there's no electricity?
That's true. See, I can't see, you know, I don't even think about that. See, I'm so used, I'm so spoiled and always have my microwave. I don't really think about if it go out.
Right, so you'd be the one with the stomach hurting. Well, I'm
I would be the one that's very sad and crying.
The good thing to invest in is a generator, though. You can't beat one of those.
You said a good thing to invest in what?
Is a generator.
Yes, that's true.
A lot of people don't really think about those, but that's a good thing to have. When your power is out for a long time, you would love to have a generator.
What?
A generator.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you know what that is?
Oh, wow. We'll come back to school later. But, you know, but Rob, also I remember, I don't know if you said it a few minutes ago, but I also remember in a previous show, you had also said about filling up the bathtub, you know, speaking of water. That's kind of good as well.
Right, because a lot of times filling your bathtub is a very good preparation item, just as obviously don't fill it right now, but maybe like one of the last things you do before the storm hits is to fill up your bathtub for drinking, even something as simple as if your power's out and you have to do something as simple as go to the bathroom. If you flush, that water isn't going to return. So that water in the bathtub you can use to fill up your toilet so you can flush it again for the next time you need to use the toilet again. A good website for in case I've left anything out for preparation items, preparation rules, would be www.onestorm.org. And on there you can design a family plan. Plus it'll have all kinds of preparation things to do and whatnot. And you can actually make your own individualized family plan on there. and print it out and have it on hand for when the time comes to put that plan into action. So that's another website tool that you can use for preparation for preparing for a storm. Another one is ready.gov. Again, another one that you can it'll have preparation advice, how to put together a hurricane preparedness kit and put that kit into action when it needs to be put into action.
Right. Okay, well, that's three good websites you have. If you're out there listening and you may be in the area where I will hit, please call us and talk to Rob. He has a lot of good advice on hurricanes. You know, he's definitely going to steer you in the right direction on how to prepare, what to look out for, just everything. The number is 646-200-3136. And, you know, and then talking about that, filling up the bathtub and then trying to wash all day. Have you ever did that? I mean, that's the worst. I mean, you dip it out, you try to use it, and I can never get the bath cloth to lather up.
Are you scared?
Were you using some cheap soap?
So what?
Were you using some cheap soap?
Well, you gave it to me. I don't know what kind was it. What kind was it?
You can't.
But I don't know. That's the worst. But no, but Rob, we want to thank you so much for joining us on our show, and then just helping all of our listeners, because I always say, a lot of people, people are always moving and stuff. So a lot of people may have never been through a hurricane. They heard about it, but a lot of times, if you're not actually there, you don't really, learn, as much as you can about it. Like for me, I don't live in, I never been through an earthquake. I mean, yeah, I know kind of how they go, but I really want to know how to prepare and what to look out for and all that kind of stuff. So, for some people, listeners could be their first time in a hurricane. So it's good to know, how to prepare and, kind of what's expected of Ike and their predictions and all that good stuff. So thank you so much for that.
So what kind of weather is New Orleans going to see from Ike?
Right now it looks like mainly probably the outer fringes. They may actually end up seeing just tropical storm force winds on, it looks like at this point, Friday afternoon into Friday night. The surf looks like it could be quite high along the Louisiana coast. The actual wave height offshore could be as high as 20 feet just offshore. And that may actually push some sort of a surge into the coast there. But the worst effects obviously look to be further west in along the Texas coast. But even along Louisiana coast, New Orleans, where it's going to be such a large storm in size, the effects will be felt as far away as New Orleans and maybe even the Mississippi coast and maybe even points east from there.
Wow.
I hope those people around there be all right.
I do too. I mean, I didn't hear you say California. Is it going to touch California a little or no?
No.
No, okay.
All right.
Anyway, well, Rob, again, thank you so much for joining us tonight. Also, before Rob leaves, he did give out three good websites. I just want to go over those again. One was petwelcome.com. That was for your pets, if you want to kind of go there and see what's good for your pets during the hurricane. Another one was onestore.org. I think he said that was for a
one
design
storm
plan.
One storm.
You know what? What I'm going to do, I'm going to let Rob go over them.
Yeah.
I'm messing up here. Rob, if you don't mind, if you're going to say the three websites that you gave the people.
Sure. Absolutely. The first one is Pets Welcome, PetsWelcome.com. The second one is ready.gov. And the third one is onestorm.org.
Thank you so much. I would have never.
You're
I would have put you there. Thank you so much for joining us tonight, Rob.
You're welcome.
All right, listeners. So what we're going to do now? We're going to take a short break, and whenever we come back, we're going to go into a little bit of tribute of a time in history. Tommy, you want to let them know what that is?
We're going to go into 9/11.
9/11.
I have a memory of it.
So we will be back in a short minute. You are keeping it real hot and fresh with Zach, Tori, and Tommy. Okay, well, we're going to have a break, but it don't want to do right.
Right.
Wow. That's awful.
Yes, it is.
That's very awful.
But as with technology, everything doesn't always go right.
Yeah, it doesn't. Tommy, wait a minute. Aren't you the one that put this together? What do you do?
Hey, my electrician degree didn't kick in.
Let's see something.
Did you hear about the switch to digital?
It should not come as a surprise to anybody that escorts around the country are tuned in to how the media cover our work and our lives. It may, however, come as a surprise to some that sex workers in many sectors have something to say about it. They have insight, they have analysis, and they have outrage. Bound Not Gagged is our way of responding to the injustice and hypocrisy that keeps sex workers' voices muted and faces hidden. Sex workers may be in hiding, but they refuse to be silent. At Bound Not Gagged, you will get an inside look at the true inner workings of this mysterious business. The Desiree Alliance is a proud sponsor of this project. Remember, www.bounotgagged.com.
Thank you, and we're back. We're keeping it real hot and fresh with Zach,
Tommy,
Tori.
Anyway, okay, so
it was delayed effect.
I mean, can y'all keep up? What is really going on?
Hey, well, you said everybody's name the first time. So I...
Oh, my God. Okay. What was the game play?
Super Bowl?
You know what I'm saying?
Dad, I need to get my... I mean, can I get my popcorn?
Up your head. Are we playing football on the show today?
That's what I'm
saying.
It's like a superhero theme music or something.
Wow. I mean, what was that the introduction to our next topic?
I know that's it, right? I should have came up better.
That was too upbeat.
After we introduced ourselves, that's what we should have played.
Yeah, that would have been good. That would have been really good. We need to do that next time. Oh, my God. Anyway. Okay, people, so now we want to... Are you serious? You can't be serious.
good verse.
Everybody,
I'm gonna need y'all. I think y'all start downloading porn. So we're getting viruses. That is not good viruses either. Yeah, can they play some hip hop?
Say
what?
You bet you do. That was awesome.
Who is it?
Like all of our listeners out there, just disregard the last 5 minutes of the show.
Rob,
okay,
you
just disregard that.
Is that the food line music?
That's elevated.
They were April Fools. In September. Wow. I mean, how do you talk about something that after that? I'd be all confused.
Confused.
But no, okay. Woosah. Let's get back serious here, people.
Did you say
okay,
Woosah?
So, I did say Woosah, didn't I? Where did I get that from?
Meditating?
Yeah, I do have to meditate after that. I got to get back focused. I get my focus back.
Where did that come from? I heard it, too.
Huh?
So where did it come from? I heard it, too.
I don't know. But, you know, but I mean, after going from the football music to
Superstitious?
Who?
The Superstitious. All that elevated music right after the Super Bowl, it went off.
Pretty nice, though. It was pretty relaxing. You can play it again.
Nah, don't do that.
You don't think so?
Nah.
I don't think so. But anyway, sorry, people. Holy, we're back. So, like I said, you're back with Keeping It Real Hot and Fresh with Zach.
Tommy.
Tori. Was that more up to par?
It sure wasn't.
But anyway, but to really get serious, you know, now to go into our second part of the show, this is the week of 9/11, and you know, how am I trying to say? What was that?
Can somebody get out of the airport?
That was
not funny. When a jet taking off.
That was not funny at all. I mean, that's not a way to start this.
It's your right.
That wasn't funny.
It's not my fault an airplane comes on and you want it. Never mind. I'm not even going to go there.
Stop. Now, Tori. Let's jump in. Where were you at 9/11? And what do you remember? Oh, where were you at 9/11? Forget what you remember.
Both at school, weren't we?
I don't remember. How many years ago was it?
We were at school.
What, 2001?
We were at school. I'm telling you.
I remember it, though. It's weird because I remember I was supposed to be in school that day, college, and tell me I didn't want to go. I remember I was supposed to be in college, and I remember waking up, and I never really watched the news, but just for some reason that day was on, and I remember seeing it, but I remember whenever I saw it, I didn't really pay too much attention to it because I was thinking it was something happening in another country, you know, and then they kept talking about it, and they was like, this is New York, and then it was like, this is the World Trade Center. And then so I was like, wait a minute. I was like, yeah, that's the World Trade Center. A plane just went in the building. Lord have mercy.
Yeah, I remember I was in school and all the teachers stopped what they were doing and they all cut on the TV and everybody started watching it. And I was in gym class at the time and everybody quit and we all started watching the TV once everybody had heard about it. Then people started breaking down crying as soon as they saw it. Sad moment.
Yeah. I think for me, you know, there was really a moment in time that was just like, you know, wow. I mean, just watching the aftermath, you know, the buildings falling, the, you know, the planes going into the buildings. It was something. I mean, it was really something to see. And I do remember back then I was working at a department store, and I remember some of the people, they were from New York, so they had family there, and, you know, it was just kind of crazy just seeing people panicking because, you know, they're wondering, are the families okay, you know. And then just like the different scenarios were like, you know, some people who actually maybe worked in the Towers building, you know, they were off that day. It was just, I don't know. So I guess basically what we want to do is, you know, 9/11 is this week. We just kind of want to have a tribute and just kind of remember back for all those people and all those families who did lose people, you know, just to kind of have a little tribute to them because, you know, the pain never goes away, especially something like that. I mean, there was definitely a terrorist attack on our country. And that's something that will never be forgotten. I mean, and especially like in our generation, just seeing something like that is phenomenal. It's just, it's scary. And even until this day, it still kind of sent a chill up your spine. I mean, I actually had the chance to go and see Ground Zero. I think back in 2006. And it was just kind of eerie, you know, just looking at it and then just thinking, you know, those tall buildings used to be there. It was crazy.
It is. I saw the layout for the memorial they got for them, and it's really nice.
I know. Well, you know, some people say that they've already built something in that spot. Is that true? I don't.
It's gonna be like a. It's almost like it's a hole in the ground, in a sense, but it's dropped down. They're going to have, like, a pool and everything down there. It's going to be really nice when they get through. But I haven't seen it since I heard about them and I saw the pictures of it, how it's going to look. But I'd like to go and see it.
Me too. Yeah, it is something to see. Tori, did you ever see the movie Fahrenheit 9/11?
Mm-mm.
You didn't? Oh,
I saw the movie World Trade Center.
See, I never saw that. I mean, what was that basically about? I mean, did it just focus mostly what the people was doing inside at that time, or?
It was mainly about the people, like the firefighters and stuff that was in the building, and how they got trapped in there. And it showed a picture of two of the firefighters that lost their legs because they were buried alive, but they actually made it out. Them two and some other people had made it out alive after it crashed on top of them. It's a crazy story, but it was a good movie.
I know. And then, like, just seeing, you know, the real thing on TV, just seeing how people, you know, they just felt like, I guess, you know, I mean, it's hard to say because, something like that happened, a plane just went through the building, you know, you're trying to free yourself. So, you know, remember how people was jumping out of the windows and stuff? I mean,
yeah, those people that were jumping out of the windows, a lot of people saying that they were crazy and all this kind of stuff, and how could you jump out of the window?
Yeah.
But a lot of those people that were jumping were the people that were caught in spots where their building was on, the inside of their building was on fire.
Yeah.
So you had a choice of, you know, jumping out of the window or sitting there being burned to death. And, I mean, fire is one of the worst pains you'll ever feel. So you're not really in the right mind, and you will jump.
I mean, however can somebody say, you know, what you would do, at, you know, in a situation like that? I mean, that's, you know what I'm saying? I mean, something like that happened, you don't really know what happened, probably because, like, the, you know, people that was either under or above where the plane hit, you know, they probably just hear, like, you know, feel like this big commotion. You don't really know what's going on, so you just panic, and you just, you know, thinking that somehow maybe you can survive out the window.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
Yeah.
And it was the people that were above where the plane crashed at, they headed to the roof, and then the people that were up under there, a couple of floors, they some of them went downstairs. A lot of them went down and got it out of the building, but a lot of them didn't make it. And you would never think people could survive it, how it looked, how it went down and everything. But a lot of, there's quite a few people that survived that.
It was something. I mean, that was like, that was like New York, like never before. I mean, I just remember the aftermath, just all the ashes, you know, just all that big, you know, puff of smoke going through the streets of New York. Oh, boy. And then the attack on the Pentagon. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was a lot of crazy stuff. But you know what? But see, another thing, too, is where was our president? That's the number one question. Where was our president during this time? Where was he at? You know what I'm saying?
Where was who at?
Our president.
Oh. I don't remember where he was at, but I don't think anybody
probably
heard
in,
the Pentagon attack.
He was probably in Hawaii. Or he was probably in... He was probably the one who did the
probably
threat.
Somewhere negotiating some kind of oil trade.
It was a drug deal gone bad. Yes, me.
What?
Bush.
Bush is just crazy. We're not asking him a drug dealer. He's just cornball.
I think the people have made the dumbest choice ever to make him president, and I hope everybody sees it now.
And then they're going to elect, and they're going to try to elect McCain behind that, too.
And then all of that. Do you remember when Bush got elected? How everybody had Bush flags in their yard and riding around with Bush stickers on the car? When the last time you seen a Bush sticker?
See Bush for
you. Yeah. Oh, I'll tell you the last time I saw a Bush sticker, it was actually in a bush. So that's where they tossed it.
But there's still a lot of people that stand behind him on that, though.
Ain't that something? I mean, stand firm behind them, too.
I think those are mainly the people that don't have children in Iraq and all that kind of stuff. Because if they did, they surely wouldn't be voting with that. And wouldn't be supporting Bush. I mean, if you hear him do a speech, he's clearly not
he's
the smartest
confused.
Guy.
He's really confused. He's like a puppet. You know, somebody else is definitely pulling the strings.
His dad.
Exactly.
But that's another show, another topic.
Another show, another topic. Yeah, so we are having a tribute about 9/11. If you feel free to call in if you, you know, care to share your thoughts about that time. 646-200-3136. Maybe some listeners had a more closer aspect of the, you know, of the moment. So call in and let us know your viewpoints of it. Because I know
there was a lot of opinions on it.
There was a lot of opinions on it. I mean, a lot of opinions. I remember during it. I mean, if I remember correctly, I remember during that time it was just like wow, you know. Now that I think about it, I remember how like everything just shut down. I mean, the airlines, you know what? I mean, a lot of stuff didn't. I mean, definitely the airports, you know, they just shut down. Probably like a lot of sources of transportation shut down. I remember I was in Jacksonville, Florida, back in maybe 2006. And I remember I was taking a picture of a battleship, and somehow I guess a security guard had saw the flash or whatever. They stopped us. They stopped us quick and said, "Yeah, excuse me, we think we saw a flash come from this car. We might need to take your camera." They didn't get it. I said, "You see a flash come from here?" But you know, but I say security was tight during those years. I mean, and then wish it should have been. You know, I mean, because we had just been attacked by terrorists, so it was something. I remember, you know, isn't it when gas went down, though, after that happened? Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Isn't that when gas went down?
Well, when 9/11 happened?
Yeah, it seemed like gas went down during LA, somewhere after that time.
I'm not really too sure on that. I wouldn't drive them in.
Yeah. But I know security was tight, because I remember one nobody hardly getting on planes.
Yeah,
I remember.
I went to California, I think, not too long after that, and they ended up having to take my shoes off and stuff at the airport.
Wow. Yeah, they were confiscating. Security was tight. They weren't playing either.
Mm-hmm. No, they weren't.
I mean, it's going to take a... I mean, for some people, it's really going to take a while. You know, I mean, I don't really think that, you know, something like that, you never get over. It's just, I mean, it just changed. Yeah, it just changed your life forever.
I think 9/11 was made. 9/11 was made out to be a really big deal, and which it is. Don't get me wrong, but they kind of blew past what happened in New Orleans.
What do you mean?
I mean, you know, 9/11's got a tribute to it and all of that, but the people are still struggling in New Orleans.
Oh, you mean because of the hurricane?
Well, the levees broke.
Because of who?
Because of the levees broke. Everybody
oh.
at the arena.
Oh, that's right. I know Louisiana's having a time, because didn't Hannah do a little, no, it wasn't Hannah, it was, what's the other hurricane name?
Ike.
No, not Ike, there was the one before Hannah. It was Gustav, yeah, that one. Didn't he do something in Louisiana? Yeah, I think he did like a little bit of flooding. I don't think it was too bad, though. Yeah, Louisiana is going through a time. And see, that's another thing. I mean, really, if you think about it, it all goes back to the president. Why? Because he's going to be the one in charge. What is he doing? I mean, Louisiana is, you know, is struggling. I mean, really, I heard more like celebrities and like, you know, other people helping that state. Maybe he did, but I didn't really hear too much. If he did help, it wasn't like, you know, I didn't really hear about it, because I heard more about, like, you know, celebrities helping Louisiana. What is Bush doing? I mean, really, what is he doing?
Keeping
his feet warm.
Yeah, for the next president.
Well, November need to hear him get here, because I just can't believe it. I just can't believe 8 whole years. And then people talking about getting...
We worse than we started out.
Worse. So much worse. But the thing about it, but the funny thing about the Republican Party is they be acting like we fine. Who fine? They fine? They fine.
But what I don't like is a lot of people that live in New Orleans, when that whole thing happened, they said that the National Guard or whatever, they wouldn't let them leave. They wouldn't let people walk out of New Orleans. They had to stay. And then a lot of people say when the levees broke, first you heard something sound like an explosion, and then you heard, like, the wall give way. And a lot of people think that somebody blew the levees up and flooded Louisiana. But they didn't respond to them until a couple of days later.
See?
But let something happen in Texas, and Bush is there.
Thank you. All about Texas. Yeah. And then, see, Ike is going to Texas, so, yeah, we'll see.
I bet you he'd be there if anything happens in Texas with Ike, and I hope nothing does. I really do. But if anything happens in Texas with Ike, you can guarantee Bush is going to be there as soon as possible.
He got to protect his golf course.
Yeah, and his ranch.
Right. With his two ponies. That is so sad. I mean, because there was a lot of deaths in Louisiana too. I don't know.
If you go, I think it was the Superdome. I think that's what it's called. If you go to the Superdome, and I saw pictures of it, and I saw a guy go in there. If you go in there and see what it looked like, what the conditions those people had to, like, endure for that long, it's crazy. Because people were using the bathroom on the field where they sleep at.
That's very nasty. And I'm sorry, but you mean to tell me that our president couldn't do nothing better, I mean, to help those people than in the situation that they were in? Now, our president now, he couldn't help those people no better than that. I mean, he couldn't do something, you know.
And then a lot of the insurance companies wouldn't pay the people that had insurance for that kind of thing.
And this is the country we live in. And it's home.
Right. It's very strange how we can go outside of the United States and help other countries when we got problems right here in our own country and can't fix them.
I know. I
mean,
We're supposed to take care
of home first.
Yep.
See, but we rush to help everybody else.
Mm-hmm, because I think the United States, you know, we always try to look like, you know, we're this country that just can help everybody. Oh, yeah? Look at it. Well, maybe we need to take a look in the mirror because we can't even, I mean, there's so many people, you know, that are struggling, that are homeless. You know, they are, you know, sleeping on the streets and just having a hard time. But, you know, the government or whoever, they're always so quick to go to these other countries to help those people that are in need. I mean, I don't.
Let's hear from, do we have time to hear from our callers?
Yeah, we do. Give them the number.
But, the number is 646-200-3136. If you would call in and give us your opinion on how we are standing now. Is Bush in your favor or not? Call in. That number again is 646-200-3136.
Yeah, please let us know because, whenever you really start to think, you know, an eyebrow raise and then you start to think more, and both of them raise because it's like, you know, you just be thinking of the predicament that this country is in for 8 whole years. 8. And then the only thing Bush can do is keep sending soldiers over there fighting. I mean, really fighting for what now? I mean, really. I mean, this war been going on so long that I don't forgot what they're fighting for. And he don't seem to see that, you know, his tactics isn't really working. And for all y'all people, you know, all the listeners that are listening, know that too. The Republicans believe in war. You know, I mean, just send the soldiers over there. You know, fight. What's the point of fighting?
What's the point of fighting for something that you're not? What are you fighting for?
Yeah.
To me, fighting for something and not having nothing to show for it is kind of purposeless.
But what they're actually fighting for over there is the oil, regardless of what Bush attempted.
Okay, have they brought back home any oil?
I thought they were going to bring any back home. They're fighting for the agreements over there for them to, you know, give us some oil because they were keeping it from us. They were setting oil fields on fire and all that.
Okay, once you think about this, after you done killed so many of their people, do you really think they want to agree with you on anything?
Well, I'm sure his philosophy on it is keep killing them until they give it to you.
And then, okay, let's say they do agree to give oil. Okay, then we do, bring all our troops back home, and then after we got all our troops back home, they come over here and do another terrorist attack on us?
Hopefully, we're going to be on point with the next terrorist attack. I mean, I'm sure they're plotting on us at all day long, pretty much, but hopefully everything will go good with that. I don't think there'll be another airplane or 9/11. I don't think that'll happen. I think we've got security tight enough at airports for that not to happen. But terrorists are always coming, and they say they've got more terrorist training camps over there now, more than ever.
And that's what's scary. And then, see, the sad thing is, you know, most things, I mean, you know, it gets worse before it gets better. You know, the United States
But we're going to hope we saw the worst with, you know, 9/11, and we're going to leave it there.
Yeah.
And a lot of people say that we could have prevented 9/11. Because, of course, you know they monitor the airplanes and where they're going and all of that.
Yeah.
And a lot of people say you can't prevent it. But, I mean, there's not a lot you really can do. You're not going to shoot the plane down. That's, I mean, there's people on there. The government shouldn't get to decide who dies and all that.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying. Exactly.
Right, anyway, there's not a lot we could have done down here. So, we just got to hope nothing like this ever happens again.
Mm-hmm.
Because Al-Qaeda is definitely plotting on it.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, what turns my stomach is, you know, kind of how the government, kind of like what you said, they kind of choose who dies, you know. But, you know, whenever they send their family there, you can best believe they're not going to be on the battlefield. They'll be the ones behind the computers or, you know, behind the whole show. They're not going to send their kids out there on the battlefield. And, I you know, it's just, I don't know.
How many governors or any kind of person within power do you hear about their child going to Iraq or something like that? That's not going to happen.
Thank you.
With McCain, yeah, I mean, he went, he did his time in service or whatever, but that was back then.
Right.
As old as McCain is, he probably got drafted out. He might didn't go by choice. I don't know that for sure, but more than likely, he probably got drafted out. And if he did go by choice, I mean, I'm glad he did it. I'm glad he helped our country.
Right.
But I do not support him in any way for the election.
Mm-hmm. No way at all, because 8 years is too much.
Oh, yeah. McCain seemed to be in office for 4 years.
Yeah, well, still, that's still another 4 years. Well, I mean, that's what I'm saying. You know, 8 years of the Republican Party is enough. So we don't need another 4 years.
I don't remember who the caller was last week that told us that we were doing good before Bush got in the office.
Yeah, we were.
I don't know who. I can't remember his name. But, I mean, he said we were top-notch and everything, and now we're owing everybody money. And which is crazy how Bush turned this country so far around. We hope we can get back.
Yeah,
terrible.
That's a lot of hope.
Yeah, it
is,
I mean, a lot of hope. There's a lot of hope resting on McCain and Obama's shoulders right now. So whichever one gets in office, they got a lot of work to do.
So do. It ain't no time for blame. I mean, gang, it's all time for, you know, work, turn the country around, doing what you said you're going to do. But people are going to be looking for it.
Yeah,
you are. I know I am. I can't keep paying all this gas like that now.
When gas prices drop, they ended up going back up, and then they drop a little bit, and they end up going back up. And like you were saying last time, I mean, this ain't no cheap gas. Well, it dropped 20 cents. It's still not cheap gas.
Thank you. Tell them that.
Did you hear about, since people aren't traveling as much, they don't really have the money to fix roads like they're supposed to?
Say it again.
Since people aren't traveling as much, they don't have the money to fix roads like they're supposed to. Because we cut back on how much gas we buy and all of that. I think they said the gas tax goes into fixing our roads and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
So people aren't traveling. And, of course, they told us, stay home, you know, don't travel so much and don't use up so much gas.
Right.
But us not traveling is hurting our roads, and then us traveling is raising gas prices up. If it's not one thing, it's another.
Exactly. I mean, it's like a catch-22, you know. I mean, and then, you know, they have to see this stuff. They have to know. I mean, I'm pretty sure they know, but it just seems like they're not really, I guess it's not their main, you know, it's not really the main thing on their agenda. But it might need to be. I don't know. I mean, what can you do, right? besides vote. And most importantly, go pray. Well, people, I'm going to tell you, it's something out there, from the hurricanes to the president stuff. I mean, it's something. You know, it's praying times. All I can say is get out there and vote. Please vote. Please, please, please vote. Please don't complain about stuff, you know, not getting better, and then you don't vote, because I don't want to hear you. If you're not going to vote, just stop. Tori, what are your final thoughts?
Just be careful. Be prepared.
Be prepared, people. Tommy, your final thoughts?
Vote Obama. Everybody throw some prayers up for all the people in Texas and for the people of 9/11. And keep your eyes open for these hurricanes.
Mm-hmm. They turning.
And they are.
But anyway, people, before we go, you know we got to do those 10 ways you know you ghetto. And tonight, our girl Tori got them. Tori, go ahead, girl.
Okay, 10 ways you know you ghetto. Number 10, when you flip your drawers inside out and wear them again, talking about this side clean.
Oh, that's so nasty. I used to hate when people do that. You know, I remember some of our cousins did that. I mean, they used to flip them over and be like, they would go in there and take a shower, you know, get their body all clean, and then flip their drawers over. Oh, I thought you can't be serious. Oh, wow.
All right, number 9. This is for the ladies. You know you get it when you cut all your hair off so the stocking cap will be smooth on your head for your quick weave. Number 8. You know you ghetto when you can't afford a flat iron, so you iron your hair on the ironing board.
What's wrong with that? That works on it.
You got to press it how you can.
Right. Press and curl. Keep it going.
Number 7. You know you ghetto when you wear open-toed shoes all year long because your toenail is too long.
Why don't y'all just cut y'all nails? I mean, really.
Cutting holes in the front of your shoes.
Exactly. Shoes be talking.
Number 6, you know you ghetto when you hook your surround sound speakers to your DVD player up in your car.
Right.
You got to get that bass back in there. If you can't afford the speakers, better take them out your house.
You know what I'm saying?
People make sacrifices to look good.
Got it right.
Number 5, you know you ghetto when you run out of milk, so you use your breast milk with the cereal.
It's natural.
I heard it's sweet.
Shoot. You like the one
that you're Number 4, you know you get it when you buy an outfit to go to the club and try to take it back with deodorant stains.
Shoot, that's how I bought it.
Number 3. You know you get up when you save all your receipts from fast food restaurants so you can go back and say they left something out of your bag and get it free. Number 2. You know you get up when you order your food, eat more than half, and then complain so you can get your money back.
Exactly.
You know what now? You know what I'm saying now? If you do that 5 times, you'll be full and get a free meal. I don't know that. I'm just saying, you know.
Uh-huh. I've been out with you a couple times. I've seen how you do.
Number 1. You know you get up when you put your furniture outside and let the rain clean it, and then you say, well, at least it got its summer rain scent.
raining on the sofa. Thank y'all so much for joining us tonight. Y'all keep it real hot and fresh, and please come again, tune in again next week, Monday, Same time, same place. All right, people. I'm Zach.
Tommy.
Okay.
Guess we don't have a third person here today.
Tori's gone. All right, y'all.
All right, go ahead.
This has been SSBN, Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill. Bye-bye.
Later.